Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, am I a Judas Iscariot? Lord, am I a Jeroboam? Lord, is it I? Wherever the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is preached, there will always be the stigma of Judas Iscariot. For indeed, what he did will always be inseparable from his name. You know about Judas Iscariot, don't you? Judas Iscariot, who betrayed the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved people, on every page of the Gospels, and indeed in the book of Acts, the stigma of what he did hounded Judas Iscariot. And I want to tell you tonight on the authority of the Word of God that whatever stigma is attached to you, it will hound you forever and ever and ever. Lord, am I a Judas Iscariot? Lord, am I a Jeroboam? Lord, is it I? Well, you know about Jeroboam, don't you, if you know your Bibles? You'll know that Jeroboam was the son of Nebat, and he was the one who made Israel to sin, and he indeed is the Old Testament counterpart to the New Testament Judas Iscariot. And you see, Jeroboam, like Judas Iscariot, never got rid of the stigma that he made Israel to sin. And the question I ask myself in this gospel meeting tonight, indeed the very question that I ask you, what is the thing when this brief and fleeting life is done that I am going to be remembered for by those who knew me best? What is it that you will remember me for? Now don't answer that. When the time comes and I leave here, of course, I trust that you will remember that I've been here. How could you forget? But when you are taken out of this life, what will your family remember you for? What will be the most prominent thing in their mind? My own daughter summed it up very well for me on one occasion. She said, "The thing I will remember about you when you go, Father, is that you were you." And of course she always qualifies that by saying there's only one of your kind, and thank God for that. But I want to tell you tonight that the most wonderful thing in this world to be remembered for and remembered by is who you are, and not what you may have accomplished. And as I look at the life of Judas Iscariot, I see something about him that I want to warn you about tonight. I see a progressive hardening of a man's heart against God. At the beginning, there's no question his walk with Christ seemed so full of promise. He was called and chosen by Christ into the intimate circle of Christ's own disciples. He was called into all the privileges of Christ's service. But listen to this gospel truth very carefully. It was the same Christ who called Judas Iscariot to himself that dismissed Judas Iscariot from his presence when he said, "What thou doest, do quickly." It was then that Judas Iscariot went out, and it was night. And oh my, it was night. It was not only the darkness of the natural night, but it was the darkness of the spiritual world. As the late Campbell Morgan says, that was the night that Satan became incarnate in Judas Iscariot. Oh, he began. There are a lot of people who begin well. I don't know about you, but I love golf, and so does Clive and one or two others, and we're about to get a group of men together to play golf. That'll be good, and it'll be good fellowship. It'll be hilarious. But looking at the golf today, some began well, but the big white shark finished well. He won it. And you know, there are parallels in sporting bodies and sporting activities that are so closely allied to the Christian life. There are many who begin well. And like the athlete, they'll do everything that is correct and proper. They'll even do the right kind of exercises. They'll even go on the right diet program, whether it's Pritikin's or whatever it is. They'll do everything well for a while. And it's like the Christian who begins with Christ. They attend every prayer meeting. They have their quiet time every day. They begin well. Begin. Beloved people, in this gospel meeting tonight, there is a solemn warning from the Lord Jesus Christ for you and for me. Judas Iscariot was one of the 12. He walked with the Lord. He talked with the Lord. And in the gospel records, the phrase, one of the 12, comes almost as commonly as who also betrayed him. Now here in Mark chapter 14, we have a ripple that went around that group of disciples that night long ago that should go around this gathering here in this building tonight. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? And please remember, the Bible clearly teaches, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Lest he fall. And as you and I look again at Judas Iscariot, what do we see? We see that his early walk with Christ was deeply committed to all the work of the kingdom, which included preaching and healing. Was he not amongst the company of disciples who came back to Christ, so thrilled with what they had experienced, saying, Master, even the very devils are subject to us in thy name. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that Judas Iscariot occupied a position of trust and responsibility. But I believe very strongly that before us tonight in this gospel meeting, there is a warning which I think none of us can afford to ignore. And the warning is this. Usefulness in God's service is not always a guarantee of holiness in God's sight. Usefulness in God's service is not always a guarantee of holiness in God's sight. Please allow me to remind you of the words of Christ from the Sermon on the Mount. Christ is speaking about the day of judgment when all appearances will have passed away and nothing but stark reality will remain. And Christ describes those who will come to him saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name we've cast out devils, and in thy name we've done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, says Christ, I never knew. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And one of the greatest and saddest indictments on Judas Iscariot was simply this. He never, ever knew Jesus Christ. Or he was with him. He walked with him. He talked with him. But he never knew. And perhaps it is fair to say that there are many in every branch of the Christian church all over the world tonight who have walked with him, who have talked with him, but do not know him. Now when I read and hear those words of Christ, I think of the service in which Judas Iscariot was involved in, and I think of the secret behind that which he did. You see, it becomes apparent when you look at the Word of God from Judas Iscariot's life that as time went on, there were two processes at work together in his experience. Now, I want to just take a little bit of counseling experience and just put it together with a gospel meeting tonight. Every one of you in this building tonight has a dual personality. And that doesn't mean you have a split personality, but you have a dual personality. It took a man and a woman by God's grace to put you together. Isn't that marvelous? That it took two human beings to make one. And every one of us in this building tonight has a dual personality. That is, until it is synchronized together in Jesus Christ. I used to have two personalities. I've only got one now. And that's enough. Because the two became synchronized into one in and through Jesus Christ. But tomorrow you will meet people who have two personalities. You might even meet some who have a split personality. I hope you don't. But you certainly will meet many people who have a dual personality. And the greatest tragedy is that many of those who have dual personalities sit in every congregation of every church on every Lord's Day. Sad, but they do. They do. You see, the tragedy is when you have a dual personality and it hasn't been synchronized in Jesus Christ, you become a very sick person. Mentally sick. Mentally disturbed. And you might say, well, all right, Pastor, on what grounds do you base that? I base it on the Word of God and I base it on years of experience and counseling ministry. I base it on the findings of psychiatrists and psychologists. The whole secret was given to us in the book of Genesis when it was given to us in regard to marriage. The two shall become one. There's a lot of great teaching there. You can take my word for it. It's true and it is real. It is real. And so these two personalities were at work in Judas Iscariot. One was an ever-increasing involvement in Christ's service. But behind this, and unseen to the eyes of the normal man, there was an increasing detachment from the Lord's deepest purpose for his own life and for sinful humanity. And I want to say to you tonight, it's very, very easy to get involved in the Lord's service and become totally detached from the Christ of the gospel. Now, beloved people, there is nothing deadlier in the whole world than this spirit of detachment with its clinical orthodoxy and its cold metallic touch. And yet, it is with us most Sundays. And in John chapter 12, we see this truth beautifully exposed, where Judas Iscariot is silhouetted against the story of the extravagant love and devotion of Mary of Bethany. When she brought her devotion and expressed it when the ointment, that is, the costly ointment, was poured over Christ. You see, it was in that home there in Bethany that this dual personality that was in Judas Iscariot was exposed. You see, it was this costly and sacrificial giving of herself to the Lord that embarrasses and indeed embitters Judas Iscariot. And some of that embarrassment has been seen in every church. And beloved, in this gospel meeting, please allow me to say that we need to be on our guard before God about this cynical and embittered spirit. But I want to tell you tonight on the authority of the Word of God until you and I or anyone else who may have a cynical, embittered spirit, until that is brought to the foot of the cross. And if it is never brought to the foot of the cross, it will destroy you. It will destroy you. I could take you into psychiatric centers tonight, and I could show you lives that are being destroyed because of a cynical, embittered spirit. But I don't need to go to a psychiatric center. I can take you tonight to churches that are being destroyed because in the congregations of those churches are those with a cynical, embittered spirit. And this is what came to the fore in Judas Iscariot, in that home in Bethany. And as I look at Judas Iscariot on this occasion, I see him indulging in a bit of pious talk. Would it not have been more spiritual, he asked, to sell this costly ointment and give the money to the poor? But the Bible clearly teaches that Judas Iscariot did not care for the poor, and for that matter, he did not care for the rich. The only person in the world that he really cared for was himself. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money bag. There is something very solemn to me about the fact that increasingly for Judas Iscariot, the service of Christ was a means of feeding and fostering his own purpose. And you know, there are many people within the Christian church who are in the church feeding and fostering their own purpose. Oh yes, Judas Iscariot was deeply involved in service, but it was to foster his own ends. He was not committed to Jesus Christ. He was committed to Judas Iscariot. Beloved, in that upper room in Bethany, and meeting under the shadow of the cross, we see that it ultimately was the cross that Judas Iscariot refused. Oh yes, Judas Iscariot had heard Christ say, "If any man will come after me, let him say no or deny himself, and take up the cross and follow me. And he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life shall find it to eternal life." And as he came from that room that day long ago, Judas Iscariot had refused to let Christ, the Savior of the world, lay the cross over his proud heart. And there are many within the church tonight who will not allow the Christ of Calvary to lay the cross across their proud heart. They're too proud to repent. They're too proud to receive from Christ afresh the forgiveness that he offers. Could it be that in this gospel meeting tonight, you too are refusing to let the Christ of Calvary lay the cross over your proud heart? Lord, is it I? And once again, I look at Judas Iscariot and I see his final folly. And that is, when he saw his sin, he went to the wrong place with it. That is, where he found remorse instead of repentance. And there are many tonight who have gone to the wrong place with their sin. There are many tonight who will be in the pit of remorse. There will be many tonight who will cry hot tears of regret upon their pillow. You and I know that Judas Iscariot should have gone to Christ with his sin. But do we? Do we? Have we gone to Christ this very day without sin? Lord, is it I? You see, God always shows us all the truth about ourselves, that he might drive us to himself. Because when we are driven to Christ, the words of Psalm 51 become a living reality. We then understand what it means, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Beloved, when I think of this indescribable love of Christ, which was offered to Judas Iscariot, I think of you and I. For indeed, that indescribable love of Christ is offered to you and to me afresh tonight. The love of God. The love of God. I remember when we were baptized. That's a number of years ago now. The man who was very, very good to us in our early days as our pastor, he eventually became a member of the board of the Evangelistic Association. He could not only preach, but he could sing. And that day, after he had baptized Beryl and I together, he sang for us the love of God. The love of God. You who can sing, you know that beautiful song. The love of God is greater far than tongue nor pen can know. That indescribable love of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:15, the Bible says, He, the Christ, died for all, that they who live should no longer live unto themselves, but live unto Him. You see, it is in the death of Christ on the cross that we see the fullness of God's love for us all. But before the cross, we see the Judas Iscariot in all of us. But there in that upper room, as Christ was approaching the cross, and Christ looked at Judas Iscariot, and He said to Judas Iscariot, What Mary has been doing will be a memorial for her. And wherever the gospel is preached, this memorial of what she has done will be remembered. But Judas Iscariot, wherever the gospel is preached, the stigma of what you have done will also be remembered. Be remembered. When we understand love, the true love of Christ, we realize that the love of Christ will always be the opposite of self-love. And I couldn't help but smile as I've been reading Every Day with Jesus after I prepared this sermon, and those who are reading Every Day with Jesus, it has something to say about this in a more fuller way. You see, it was a very terrible disease that Judas Iscariot had. He was in love with himself. In love with himself. Lord, is it I? Lord, do I suffer with the disease that Judas Iscariot suffered from? Lord, am I in love with myself? Lord, is it I who is the betrayer in this meeting tonight? Lord, is it I who is the betrayer in this band of disciples? Lord, is it I who is the betrayer in the body of believers? Lord, is it I? Is it I? And beloved, that same indescribable love of Christ which was offered to Judas Iscariot is offered to you tonight. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. You see, Judas Iscariot never yielded his body and soul to Christ. He was in love with himself. And finally, he yielded his body and soul to Satan. And you know the record is true in the Word of God, how that after he had yielded himself, body and soul, to Satan, how that Satan took him out and finally destroyed both body and soul. And Christ had warned him. He said, Fear him who can destroy both body and soul. Body. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Let me pray with you for a moment. Let me ask you the question again. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that He, the Holy Spirit, will communicate effectively now the things of Christ in the appeal, the invitation, the public pledge. May it be now that we will surrender to the voice of the Holy Spirit and will realize this very night that we have been a Judas Iscariot. And that indescribable love that you offered him long ago, you offer us again tonight. Heavenly Father, help us to be honest with you tonight. Amen. as we sing the invitation hymn, if you realize this very night that it is I, and you want someone to pray with you as you receive afresh the forgiveness of Christ and His indescribable love, then just come forward publicly that people may pray with you and for you. You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. In other words, are you allowing Christ tonight to lay the cross across your proud heart? Oh, it may be the matter of many things. Baptism, church membership, could be many things. Service, devotion, and you need prayer. You know what to do. We'll sing the invitation hymn. Blessings for which we have prayed, till our body and soul he doth fully confirm. Let me ask you lovingly tonight, is your body and soul on the altar? Is it there? Is your all on the altar? You think about it while we sing these two verses. Maybe you need some prayer. You need someone to pray with you. Then let us know so that we can pray with you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that long after the voice of any preacher has finished, the voice of the Holy Spirit will go on speaking. And our Father, we pray tonight that the Holy Spirit will ring within our ears those words, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? We pray now that your grace and your mercy and your peace will abide with us until Christ comes. Amen. Time of quiet meditation. Greet one another. Share a time of fellowship around a cup of tea. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you.